we think of the manger scene. A lot of times decorations, they're, what do we see sometimes? Santa, Frosty, Rudolph. Am I going to preach against those tonight? No, I'm not going to. But I'm saying that there's a lot of focus around the Christmas time of things that have taken away from the birth of Christ. I'm not going to try to preach and say that he was born exactly on December 25th. But I'll say, if you have a problem with that, what day do you choose to celebrate the birth of Christ? I believe that he is worthy of it. I believe that giving him honor is something that he is definitely deserving of. Keeping a focus on the Lord. The manger scene reminds us of that night long ago where our Savior was born. He was placed in that feed trough in a place where the animals were kept. No, it wasn't the nicest hotel in town, but it was where the animals were at. We see Mary, we see Joseph, we see the baby in a manger, and it takes us back. It takes us back not to the Santa, not to the Frosty, not to the commercialized, but not to Christmas trees even, but to that night in the cold where our Christ was born. The birth of Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is very important and a momentous event in our history that we need to not forget. I'm not against having a Christmas tree in your house. We have one in ours. I'm not against giving of gifts. But I do enjoy seeing the manger scene. I enjoy seeing that stable. I enjoy seeing the shepherds there. I enjoy seeing the Christ child there in the manger. Why? Because it's a reminder of what God has done. It's a reminder of that true meaning of Christmas. God sent his son Jesus, born to live and then die for you, for me, to offer us that gift of salvation. That gift of salvation is Christmas. It's a good thing to have a remembrance of that great event. It's a good thing to have remembrance of positive events in our life. You see, we mentioned earlier about, you know, we can focus on the positive or negative. Birth of Christ, I believe we would all agree, is a positive, correct? Now, do we also have negatives that have happened in our lives? Yes. Negatives in history? Yes. I say we focus on the positive of the birth of Christ. I say we focus on the positives and don't forget the good. What about in our personal lives? Have we had positives? Day I was saved is a positive. Day I was able to marry Rachel was a positive. Have I had negatives? Yeah, I've had negatives as well. What do I choose to focus on? You see, I personally, I don't know about you all, but I have a sinful flesh. And my sinful flesh oftentimes likes to focus on what is currently doing me the most good this exact second. That's who I am. And I can forget sometimes the amazing things that happened just yesterday that God allowed to happen. So I think it's important to have some memorials in our life to remind us of the good, because there's going to be times that we're going to want to forget. There's going to be times that we're going to get down. There's times we're going to get discouraged. Times that the going's going to see rough. And then, oh yeah, the manger scene. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen. Look with me in Joshua chapter 3. We're going to see from a story here, a story that we're familiar with. That is a blessing, an excitement of this story in Joshua chapter 3. We see the children of Israel that they are on a journey. They have left behind Egypt, and they are moving towards Canaan, the promised land. Joshua chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 6. If you don't mind standing for the reading of God's word, if you're willing and able. Joshua chapter 3, and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Man, that's got to be an exciting day. Just think about it just for a second. When the Lord tells you, hey, I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. Better be on your toes that day. The Lord says directly, it's happening. Continue on, verse 8, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, think of the faith here that happened, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you a needy people. Lord, I am nothing. Lord, we need you this evening. Lord, I pray that you would bless these next few moments. As we look from your word, I pray that you'd help encourage us, challenge us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to erect some memorials in our lives of things that you've done to remind us of your goodness. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Amen. You may be seated. What an experience. A story that we're familiar with. But wow, this memorial that was erected after this miracle took place. Isn't God good? Imagine being there firsthand. I oftentimes look at things and I get to see the whole picture. Well, that person, they should have done this, obviously. We know how the end of the story goes. Imagine being there at that time, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, going off into the water. This memorial was done because the Lord commanded Joshua to erect this memorial. It was done to be an example, as we just read, for their children and their children's children, as an example of what God's provision and protection had accomplished at this time and place in their history. By the way, history is important. Our history as Christians is important. Our history that we learn from the Bible is important. Our history of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is important. For a sign, for a memorial. What is a memorial? That which preserves the memory of something. Anything that serves to keep in memory. We see that manger scene here at Christmas, that memorial, reminding us of the birth of Christ. That's an important part of history. Birth of a sinless Savior. The children of Israel here, they came to a point where they needed supernatural power from God to get past an obstacle in their way. By the way, don't wait till you have a supernatural issue before you go to God. But man, they were at this place. They needed God. They were promised the Canaan land. Egypt was far behind them. Canaan land was in front of them. But there was a Jordan River. There was a Jordan River that was there in the way. Can I tell you, in our Christian life, we're going to have Jordan Rivers that are going to come up in our way. We're going to have difficult times where God's going to test our mettle. Going to test if we are going to grow stronger or give in. God has many blessings that He wants to give us while here on this earth. I honestly believe that. But sometimes He's just waiting for us to prove that we're willing to go through regardless. He wants to bless us, but He needs us to take that step to move forward. He wants to give us the strength. He wants to strengthen our faith. He wants us to be able to move forward. He's there willing to help us if we will take that step. If we will dip our toes into the water, He is willing to use us mightily. Not so we can say, look at me, but so it can bring glory and honor to God. We see here in this story, first of all, the miraculous passage of Israel. Why is it miraculous? Well, so we think, as we read, there during the harvest time, the Jordan River was, during the rainy season, there was a lot more water flowing. We live on a hill, and whenever we get a lot of rain, the creek down at the bottom will come up over the driveway, and it is very powerful, just a little bit of water. It will wash away all the rocks if we're not careful, if we get a lot. So I've gotten some big rocks trying to hedge it in to keep our gravel there in place. There's times that I've not been able to get home because the creek has overflowed so much that it's covered the road, and you open the truck door and it would come in the truck. Probably shouldn't be driving down the road at this point in time. Little bit of water here. The water at this point, the Jordan River, it was up. It was over its banks. So we have a fast current of water. We've got over the banks, probably around 100-foot wide river, about 10-foot deep, fast-moving water. That is something that someone that is fit and in shape has to be very careful and without proper planning is not just going to dive into. Much less when you're trying to carry an Ark of the Covenant and you've got kids, families. Doesn't happen. Those of you who hike or hunt, you've probably found yourself in a place where you have to cross some creeks, have to cross a body of water. Any of you ever been in that position where you're crossing water? It doesn't take much water for it to get treacherous. You guys would know that. By the way, did I mention I'm not a perfect person? By the way, I have faults. One of my faults is a lack of compassion. One time I was, there was three of us coyote hunting, and this is my pastor and I and another man in the church, and my lack of compassion showed through. We were crossing a creek, and it doesn't take much water to become slippery and to become dangerous, and as we were crossing the creek, my pastor, who is about 6'2" and 280 pounds, so a little bit bigger than me, he was crossing the creek in front of me, and next thing, he was no longer crossing the creek. He did a, shall we say, a side flop into the creek. I wish I could say I was immediately concerned for his safety. But I laughed, and then I checked on his safety. and that was just a creek. There was barely any water, but it was already very dangerous, much less this Jordan River. There was a lot more water that was flowing there. Rocks get slippery. The current is very strong. You must be careful. I still hear occasionally to this day, you know, he brings it up about how the lack of compassion I had for him. During our hunting, we don't hunt with each other as much anymore. I'm not sure why. Maybe he wants someone who has his back more. I don't know. But crossing water can be difficult. This was not a creek. This was a river. In flood season, following the Ark of the Covenant, signifying the power of God. We see there in chapter 3, verse 15, it was talking about they were following that presence of God. there in verse 15. That's the priests, as they came to the Jordan River, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, that they were going to follow after that. Not a time to try to be He-Man and, you know, oh, I got this, you know. Back in, I forget what date it was, a couple hundred years ago, there was, I think it was an Olympic swimmer, a strong swimmer, tried to swim across the Jordan River. And, you know, being 100 feet, not too awful bad, but with the currents, they actually were unable to. And it didn't go as they were planning and hoping. This, it was a river. The parting of the water was definitely a miracle. Think about it. It says that they shall stand upon in heap. The waters from that shall come from, down from above shall be cut off and shall stand upon in heap. Think about that. Think about that miracle. That'd be literally amazing. And it says they passed over on dry ground. Now, I don't know about Indiana, but I know Kentucky, after it rains, it takes multiple hours of sunshine before the ground starts to get dry again. It's not immediate, much less the ground that is the river bottom in flood time is extremely muddy. If you've ever tried to go in a place, sometimes your foot can get stuck in the mud. Then you take another step and your boot's back there still, and your sock goes in the mud. If you ever had that happen, that is not fun whatsoever. But man, that's what would normally happen, river bottom. They passed over on dry ground. How amazing is that? It says, verse 17, the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. So don't say, oh, well, they were just right on the edge in a dry patch. No, in the midst. In the midst. I love the way the Lord just put that in there, just in case someone wanted to say, oh, well, no, this was God. This was definitely God. And if we look over in chapter 4 and verse 10, we see another aspect. It says in the last part, and the people hasted and passed over. That would probably be me. You know, like, this is pretty cool and amazing, but that's a big wall of water right there as well. And I'm just speaking as, you know, possibly some lack of faith. You know, you think about what's going on. That's neat right now, but how long? You better not drop that Ark of the Covenant. Possibly excited to go begin the conquest. Maybe a little bit of lack of faith. You know, what would you do if you were there? I don't know. I would probably haste across as well. I would like to think that I took like a, you know, spear gun with me and like, oh, there's a good one right there. You know, go get some fish or something that's out there. Man, take advantage of the opportunity. Never again will you be able to, you know, spearfish and be able to see the entire depth of the water at once without getting wet at all. But I don't know. But dry ground. What an amazing miracle of the water staying back that wall until the priests left the middle of the Jordan River. Look with me in chapter 4, verse 17. Verse 17, Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up upon the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. We see here the priests, they didn't come out of Jordan until commanded by Joshua. Joshua is now the leader of the children of Israel. Moses has passed on. We see here, though, Joshua commanded it. But Joshua didn't tell them to come out until God told Joshua to pass that on. Look with me in verse 15. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua was leading the people in the direction that the Lord was telling him to lead them. You know, I appreciate Pastor Ross. Pastor Ross is someone that I can look up to. But I don't look up to Pastor Ross because of his name. I can look up to him because of the direction he continues going on. And that direction is follow me as I follow Christ. As soon as anybody leaves that, the Bible is the one that we ultimately follow. And that's who we are going in. I'm so thankful that there's men like Pastor Ross that we can follow in our lives. That is, hey, the Lord passes it on and then passes it on here. That's exactly what Joshua was doing. The Lord told him and he passed that on. We got to be careful. There's sometimes some Christian preachers, they've been preaching a long time and they're very proud of where they're at. They're very proud of the people who love them and their following. And sometimes they get caught up in preaching personal preferences, Bible doctrine. And that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be in. Our personal preference should never be passed off as Bible doctrine. If it's not in the book, we need to be very careful how we present it. Joshua here was passing on the word of the Lord. What a sign of the man of God following as he was following Christ. The water was withheld by God's presence, not some man-made dam, by the way. It was backed with the Lord. Verse 18, it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, they were coming out, and it says, then the waters returned. They stepped in. God wanted to see that faith. As soon as they stepped in, went back. And then as soon as they stepped out, came back. It was God, a miracle of the Lord. As those souls lifted out, I imagine those priests would be like, whoa, hey, thank you, Lord. Maybe do a little hop, jump, step as the water's coming back in right now. And it is roaring, because you can imagine, it would be roaring even more if you got the floodwaters that are backed up and you already got extra water. Yeah, if I was a priest, I probably would have, you know, walked very quickly as soon as I got out and that water started coming back, because right behind me, that water's rushing. I think they got to experience even closer. The closer you are to the Lord, the closer you are, you get to see His working hand. The closer you get to experience how amazing His wondrous works are. But wait, before this miraculous passage of the children of Israel ended, God had a job for Joshua to do. He had a job. This was a miracle. This was amazing. But he had a memorial of praise for the Lord that he told Joshua he wanted to have happen. You see, oftentimes we stay focused on an issue until it's taken care of. And then sometimes we forget about the blessing that we had during a tough time until we find ourselves in a time of need again. It's our selfish sin nature. I'm hungry, I eat. So then I don't think about food again until it's the next mealtime. What are we eating? It's all of a sudden a big issue again. We need to be careful not to forget about the blessings of God. God wants the glory that He deserves. Can I say that He deserves? We see the gathering here take place. 12 men, one from each tribe. They're in Joshua 4:2, we see, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man. Taken from where the priest stood, verse 3, and command ye them, saying, take ye you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Carrying stones to the other side. And can I just say, these weren't pebbles. These were stones. They had a grown man here to carry a stone. I imagine a good-sized stone that they were carrying across here from the middle of the Jordan River. Now, we've already established that it was a river in flood time. How many of y'all are familiar with creek rock? Creek rock, rock that's been in a creek under flowing water for an extended period of time, does not have the rough surface like you find if you just go out here in the gravel parking lot. It's smooth. Why is it smooth? Smooth from the water consistently rushing over it, that sand rushing over it, sanding it down, making it smooth, very smooth. Can we say, pick up stones that obviously came from the river? Stones that aren't normally over here, go pick those up. Something that is obvious, something that will identify it as different from the rocks that are over here on the bank. They're big. They were carried by these men. Smooth river rocks, obviously different. And then where they lodged there, they stacked them. Now, I'm not 100% sure how they stacked them. They could be straight up, kind of like the Karens. I don't know if y'all ever see the Karens that people will stack on creeks a lot of times, where they get the flat rocks and they try to make it look like some sort of neat sculpture going straight up. And some people like to do it and then take pictures and say, look what I did. I'm not going to get into the ecological negative side effects of that, of the salamanders and the other bugs that are affected by that. I'll let you decide where you feel on that. But I do know this, that if God tells me to take rocks and stack them, bless God, salamander may die, but I'm going to stack them. Could have been like an altar, could have been, you know, stacking them up, you know, just in a tower. But there was these 12 stones that they took out from the middle where those priests stood. And they carried them over to the other side where they were lodging. They also stacked 12 stones there in the midst of Jordan. And the Bible says there in verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. If it wasn't for the last phrase, I would kind of think that floodwaters probably would have just, you know, eliminated them and moved them on. I don't know if you would have been, how much you would have been able to see if you would have been able to see 10 stones, because if you would have gone straight up, the water would have knocked it over right away. So this was probably more of a fortified square type structure, but they're there. They're there. Someone who goes out there, they will be there, because that's what the Bible says. They're there to this day. So that is true. I take it as true. Something that is out of place was created here at this event to cause people to stop and say, why? Something out of place to make us think. A memorial. Y'all ever, you know, walk into a room and then something's different and you know something's different and you stop for a moment and you go, all right, it's like, I'll think about it. And you try to figure out what is it that's different, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's what it is. You stop, you trip, you focus. I remember one time I walked into one of the dorm rooms at college and immediately I said, why? For there on one of the beds was a shark. And you don't normally see a shark, 6 foot shark on a bed in a dorm room in a Bible college is not normally what you see. And it made me ask, why? Why? Not normal. It's different. What's the reason? The reason was there was a family split and it was the boyfriends, and so it was disappearing and out on bus visitation. What does a young Bible college student do then say, you're getting rid of that? Sure. What am I going to do with it? I have no clue, they were thinking, but it's mine. But it made me ask why. These 12 stones, smooth stones there on the bank off to the side. Well, that's different. Why? It's what it says that they did it. In verse 6 of chapter 4, that's what it says. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Why? That then you get to tell the story. Then you get to explain about the goodness of God. We see the manger scene decorations. Why? Well, we get to remember about the story, the birth of Christ. God does something for us. Hey, we should have something, a memorial in our life for victories that God has given us. So when we get down, when we get discouraged, when life gets tough, oh, yeah. Start saying, someone else, why? Well, let me tell you about how good God has been to me. This memorial of praise was there for the same reason. So when others asked, God could get some more glory. Glory that He deserved. Think about this. You know, we shouldn't just simply praise God at the time of blessing, but rather continue our thankfulness well after the fact. Sometimes a memorial will help us. Sometimes having something in place there will help remind us to continue on giving thanks to God. Think with me about your personal stone memorial. What would it be about? I think of mine being a sign of my heritage. Godly parents. Their choice. Neither one of them grew up in a godly home. Sign of my heritage, I was able to grow up in a good home. Going to church all the time. That was my parents' choice. My dad grew up in a home where he witnessed the effects of alcohol cause fights and abuse firsthand. Yet he wanted to give something different for his family. Think of a stone memorial, train for right. By train for right, I mean, you guys know those thin dowel rods? The real thin ones that break really easy? They're great for training purposes. I was a very stubborn young person, and I had many faults, and I went through multiple forests of trees that were made into dowel rods. While they tried to get some things through my thick skull on what I should and shouldn't do. Multiple times I was not able to sit as the dowel rod was broken over my gluteus maximus in an effort to try to train me because my parents loved me. They definitely did not spare the rod. Sometimes they really loved me. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful they cared enough to invest that much time. Think of that stone memorial, remembrance of my call to preach. I've got a paper, it's not with me tonight, from the service when I surrendered to the call to preach about not being for sale, not for sale, being sold out for the Lord. And I pull that out and look at it every once in a while. It's in pretty rough shape. But it reminds me, I go back to that service, back to that time, many years ago now, of when the Lord really dealt with my heart about that. A memorial to remind me. Reminders of victories God has given. Reminders of prayers answered. Can I say perfect for a prayer journal? To remind us. This memorial of praise perfectly pictures a marvelous purchase by our Lord. Can I say that marvelous purchase by our Lord is that gift of salvation? You see, I was like the children of Israel, walking along in my life. Until I realized I could not make it on my own, I had to look to my Joshua, the Lord Jesus, for direction and guidance. It was then, and only then, that I realized that Christ's blood purchased my way and split the waters so that I could walk over and accept the free gift of salvation, that home in heaven. That's something, that salvation, that I can remember, look back to, with gratitude, with thankfulness. And I can say tonight that the Bible stands as a sign pointing souls to Christ. In John chapter 20, verse 31, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." You see, it takes more than just understanding the Christmas story. It takes believing in it. It takes that heartfelt belief and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I can hear it all I want, but until I believe it, it doesn't do anything good for me. Praise the Lord, Christ's marvelous purchase of our sin debt has proved his miraculous presence, not only back then, but throughout all of time. See, God still loves us. God is still in the soul-saving business. God still cares for people. God's miraculous presence didn't just happen at the crossing of Jordan River going over to Jericho. He still wants to bless us. He wants our generation to firsthand see and experience the blessing and the joy of doing things God's way. Wait, why did our Savior himself go through with everything that he went through? You see, many people, they'll mistakenly claim to expect to have no issues or troubles if they're going to do the Christian life. As we've been reminded, that's not how it goes. How could a good God let this happen? Wait. What did he allow his son? What did God allow his son to go through? Oh, and we have it tough. Friends, God's presence can be seen throughout time. From creation Throughout history, each generation has the opportunity to see the presence of God. And let me tell you, God wants to show his presence to you specifically. If you're willing to put your feet out into the water and take that step of faith. We think back, Abraham with the Red Sea, that first generation out of Egypt there in Exodus 14, 21. They got to experience God's leading, God's presence miraculously. Here, the second generation out of Egypt, the Jordan River with Joshua that we're reading about, they got to experience it. Wow. Future blessings. Hey, insert your name here. Modern day, God wants to show his blessings to you. God wants to, through you, work. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus willingly saved those that went before today and those yet to be born. He willingly was born as a man. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly took all the time and all the humiliation, willingly did it for us. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I don't have to worry about if our Bible is going to change, because let me tell you, my God doesn't change. We don't have to come out with another revision of the Bible about, he actually meant this. No, we just need to get a better learning, a better understanding of what his book is teaching us. Hey, my God doesn't change. He saved us and he's willing to save us forever without, only if we do so good. No, he saves us. And he takes our sins, our faults, and buries them out in the depths of the sea. Hey, let me tell you, my God is the one who was with Abraham as the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Hey, that was my God here that was with Joshua and that next generation as they crossed the Jordan River. Hey, it is my God, the one that is leading and directing in my life today, helping me to cross through the Jordan rivers in my life. Let me tell you, it is that same God that is here tonight, wanting to lead you, wanting to bless you, wanting to guide for you, wanting to provide for you an amazing way of passage through something that you can never do on your own. That's the same God. The same God of the children of Israel. That's the same God that we have access to tonight. Amen, dear friend. That is my God. Is that your God? Has he been able to live and abide and work through you? What did God's presence here prove? Think about it. They're near Jericho now. You got to think that there's some folks out kind of checking out what's going on. To the Canaanites, what did it mean? I kind of think of the my dad can beat up your dad type thing. If I'm seeing that, hey, my God can beat up your God, your false God. Jordan River, I'd be back there being like, this might be a little interesting. Be a little worried. God's power is mighty. Verse 24 of chapter 4, the Bible says, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. I serve a mighty God. He is all powerful. Sometimes I think that I'm powerful, that I've got things down. Sometimes we might not admit it, but our actions say the same thing when we push the things of the Lord off to the side. But hey, God's power is mighty. He has a mighty, powerful hand that is there to tenderly lead his own while protecting us from harm. God's power, there's nothing too hard for him. Jordan River, didn't worry him. It'd worry me. It didn't worry him. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He created it. He can control it. He can. And the closer we are to him, the closer we can experience God's power and God's presence. Psalm 145, 12. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. You see, this parting of the Jordan River was to help the children of Israel get to the Canaan land, to continue their quest of fulfilling God's plan for them. He made a way. He showed his power. He showed his presence to allow them to continue forward. He made a way so that others would know, not that it's the children of Israel, but it was the power of God, and that they would give glory to His name. You see, it's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can accomplish. It's the Lord. He gives the increase. It is for Him. It is what we can do to give glory and honor to Him. If we go about life with personal pride rather than lifting up God, God won't be able to use us as He desires. Generation, children, see this pile of stones. What meaneth these stones? What does this memorial mean? These stones mean that I have godly parents that loved me and trained me. These stones mean that I have a home in heaven through salvation and Jesus Christ's blood. These stones remind me, they mean that I have a God who loves me and is always there to guide me. This pile of stones right here, they mean I have a responsibility to remind and tell others what God has done in my life. These stones, hey, why do I enjoy those manger scenes? Because it's a reminder, it's a memorial reminding us of the birth of our Savior, opening up a conversation about the gift of salvation. What do these stones mean? They're there for a memorial, to remind us, and to open up a conversation to tell others. When they come, what meaneth these stones? Well, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about what God did. All Christians who have been saved for any amount of time have been able to witness something that God has done in your life that you didn't think was possible. What memorials and remembrances do you have to remind you of your victories that God has given you? What about your memorial? What about your pile of stones of things God has done in your life? What would make that list? What is it? What meaneth these stones? What has God done that you can be a witness and testify to others about God's goodness to you? God commanded Joshua to make a memorial for all to see of God's presence, so that others would be able to see a difference in the lives and point it to the glory of God. What meaneth these stones? Are you ready to tell family, coworkers, those you meet during your day about the amazing victories God has given you? Are you willing to be able to say, hey, God, amazement, look what He did. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've not accepted that gift of salvation. Jesus Christ purchased on that cross of Calvary with His blood, after being born in the manger, perfect, sinless, giving us that opportunity. If you haven't accepted that, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why don't you start your own memorial? Why don't you start your own? Get that first stone. This is the day the Lord saved me. Add that stone and start a pile of, this is something God did for me, and I can tell others about what God has done. What about those of you who've been saved for a while? What would your pile of stones say? You see, life is tough. Life gets difficult. I get it. But what has God done that you can look back and remember? Wow. That was a blessing. Now, personally for me, I've not crossed any, you know, rivers or creeks that the water's just been completely stopped. But the Lord has blessed me in different areas. The Lord has shown some things to me. The Lord has moved in my heart at different times that I can look back and say, wow, that was God. What about you? What would your pile of stones say? That it may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What kind of a witness are we for Christ? He has done so much for us. Are we willing to proclaim and pass on the amazing goodness of God to those around us? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't accepted that free gift of salvation, don't put it off. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your word that you've given us. thank you for this story that we can look at and be reminded of the blessing of your provision, even when it seems impossible and difficult. Lord, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. Lord, I pray that you help us to take some time and to remember what stones that we would have as a memorial in our life of your goodness to us. In your name we ask it.